This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Five in the evening, and as promised, our first story comes out of The Guardian, and it's about the growing no-fly movement, which sounds exactly like what it says on the tin. Basically, people are not taking flights anymore to travel, instead looking at trains, ships and cars. And the idea here is that by not flying, you reduce your carbon footprint when you travel.
These people are literally grounding themselves.
They also have a lot more time. We'll get to that, but it's just, it takes a lot more time.
So it is a complicated process to do this. You know, there's extensive planning that's involved, like visa requirements. For example, when trains stop in different countries, it's also very expensive in terms of cash and also in terms of time, and where not only in terms of planning, but when it comes to the flight, where that would take just a few hours, when you take a train, that would take sometimes a few days.
Yes, and that's for, I mean, we're talking about certain distances, but for example, if I'm trying to get to France, right, it's a flight that would take me about 12 hours, and I have no idea. I really don't know how long it would take me if I were to try to do it without flying at all.
Yeah. So, you know, for example, climate activist Greta Thunberg, she hasn't flown since 2015. And when she attended the World Economic Forum at Davos in Switzerland, she traveled 32 hours each way by rail. Well, of course, record number of private jets, about 1,500, brought the rich and powerful attendees to the event.
And so in the article, there are a lot of mentions of folks who do travel for business, for conferences and things like that. But it doesn't just apply for that. Also, people who are vacationing are starting to consider this. Some are choosing to travel locally instead of going abroad. And others who buy into this idea also argue that not flying turns traveling back into one that's more experiential rather than consumerist. I suppose because you actually need to take a lot of time and effort to plan, to physically plan the travel.
So with this, I'm just glad that at least some semblance of responsible tourism, responsible traveling is coming back into the picture, more so in this way. And I guess it's a reminder, perhaps, this article didn't indicate it, but it's a reminder that being able to travel is a privilege. Though in this case, it is coming from a privileged place to be able to take that much time to travel and to take that much time to plan to travel also.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that the reaction to being privileged enough to travel is being privileged enough to choose not to fly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the next level of things. Because I had a lot of reactions when I read this story. On the one hand, it is, you know, it is part of an ongoing theme, this idea that in order to address this growing concern, fear, anxiety around the climate, part of it is it's going to require sacrifices. It's going to require all of us collectively and individually making choices every day to inconvenience ourselves in the name of trying to arrest what's going on with the planet. But on the other hand, there are so many benefits to travel.
Yeah.
You know, travel allows families who aren't living close to each other anymore to still see each other physically. Traveling allows you to broaden your mind. Traveling makes for a more empathetic person. There are lots and lots of solid reasons to travel that aren't as frivolous as I'm just going to take a weekend flight.
Yeah. So I think for me, what this is about when they say, well, it takes away the consumerist element and makes it more experiential. Well, I'm sorry, you know, some countries here have just managed to get some cash and we want to be able to spend it. So it does. Who is to say that, you know, just because we fly somewhere to and we want to check off like a travel bucket list here, that we aren't necessarily having that experience that you are having with the no-fly movement as well?
Yeah, so a lot of the people listed in the article who are participating in the no-fly movement, I noticed, are people who have traveled. They are not people who have never traveled, who have never had the opportunity to, who are now saying, oh, okay, I guess I'm just stuck. Instead, they are people who used to travel tons for work or used to travel loads for vacations, who are now saying, I'm giving that up and so should you. And so there is a tone problem there with me where I'm like, well, okay, good for you.
Yeah.
You have decided to just stay in the UK and not go anywhere else. And I understand that that's a selfless thing. It's philosophically a good thing to do. But I don't know whether that's a good enough reason for everybody else.
I wouldn't think so. I mean, there are you know, different ways to travel responsibly, right? Whether, okay, so maybe the biggest thing you incur during that travel is the carbon footprint from the flight. But then if, let's say, you are traveling by train, and this is a very big hypothesis, if you're traveling by train to somewhere and you end up taking or doing touristy stuff that's not necessarily green, that also hurts the environment. You know, for example, if you're not doing volunteer tourism, if you're not doing agrotourism or ecotourism, where you might just be participating in the food scene there, that's not as green as you could be.
No, that's true. There are a lot of different ways to try and tackle the issue of responsible travel. Let us know when you plan your holidays or when you travel for business, do you take into account your carbon footprint? Do you try to offset it? Are you planning to take fewer flights? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be speaking after this to aviation expert Ron Bishop to get a fuller picture of the situation. You are listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters, BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We are talking about the no-fly movement, people who are choosing not to fly because of the carbon footprint that it has on the planet. And we've been asking you, do you take things like that into account when you travel, whether it's for business or for pleasure? Do you try to travel with a neutral or close to neutral carbon footprint? Are you planning to fly less? That number to call, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, tweet us at BFM Radio. So we're crossing over to aviation expert Ron Bishop. Ron, thanks for joining us. Could you give us a picture of where the environmental footprint of the aviation industry actually comes from?
Yeah, look, right now the aviation industry is putting a lot of carbon dioxide into the air. And what they're trying to do is trying to lower that footprint to where it's manageable, and also into the future to get it to where it's a lot less than other modes of travel.
And how does the environmental impact of flying compare to traveling by car or taking the train?
Sure. So the flight, it expresses carbon dioxide at higher altitudes. So for regional flights, that's the flights less than 500 kilometers in length, they create the most. And for regional flights, they create a lot more, almost double of what a train would cause. However, when you get above 1,100 kilometers, the emissions are roughly the same between trains and the flights. So the longer flights tend to, because at higher altitudes, you don't use as much energy in flight. So the longer you go, the less emissions. Cars, for vehicles, it's about 50% as well. However, if you're just driving by yourself, it's roughly the same as an aircraft. So the key is to not drive by yourself if you can help it.
Right. And so, as you said, that duration matters. But are the various airlines equal when it comes to environmental impact?
Well, they're not equal. But what's happening, Alaska Airlines is the best in the world, followed by Delta, American, and then KLM, JetBlue. Malaysian Airlines is actually coming quite along. They've moved up quite a bit from over the years. And what's happening is the reason Alaska Airlines is the number one is because they're the most transparent. So they let everyone know how much emissions are actually causing. They also buy a lot of environmental credits, offset credits, which means, you know, you can spend money to offset the amount of emissions that you're putting into the environment. So they're getting a lot better. And Malaysia Airlines came out as part of the SkyBreathe. That's where it monitors fuel efficiency and the best route to get there to be able to lower emissions. Most of the other airlines have something similar, and it seems to be quite efficient.
What about innovations to make greener planes? Could we have electric planes, for example, just like electric cars?
Yeah, Airbus is currently testing an airline aircraft that will be powered solely by batteries. And what that'll do is it'll offset the emissions, because right now we use mostly coal However, as we get more solar and more wind power and alternative power, that's going to benefit us in the future. So Airbus is working on that. Boeing is also doing the electric. They're developing an electric power fan, so that way they'll be able to take off with battery power, and then when they get to high altitudes, they can vary between battery and jet power depending on what their needs are. So that'll lower emissions. They're thinking they can lower emissions 80% of what they are today. And the newer aircraft are already more efficient anyway. The 787 is about 20% more efficient than the current 757s and 777s. So we're going to see more in that area. The airlines are also removing a lot of extra items like straws, plastic items to lower the weight. And as you lower the weight, you lower the amount of emissions. So we're seeing that as well. So the airlines, because we're pressuring them, the airlines are putting a lot more emphasis on being a lot greener. So we're seeing that come to fruition.
With that said, though, there is the concern that they aren't becoming greener quickly enough to match up to the increase that we're seeing in rates of flying because of cheaper flights. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, look, I think they're under pressure as it is. It's just going to depend on the competition. So right now, when you think about it, there's really no alternative to air travel, really, and when you're talking about speed and time. So now trains are getting there. So if you go to Europe and some other places, China and Japan, with the high-speed trains, the trains are pretty close to the air travel, and they're up to 80% less on fuel emissions. So you're seeing that already. The Hyperloop is promising. The Hyperloop should be up and running in about 4 or 5 years, and that is emission neutral. It's all solar powered, and you're going to see that. And when that starts happening, then you're going to see aviation get serious, because now they have to compete. Because right now it's not much of a competition. If you really want to fly from, say, Kuala Lumpur to Kota Kinabalu, the only really way to do it is by air. And even if it's somewhere you can drive to or take a train, because we're so time sensitive and time is so important and air travel is fairly inexpensive, we always choose air. So as we go forward, we'll see air get more competitive on the green side.
Fingers crossed. Ron, thanks for speaking with us. That was aviation expert Ron Bishop talking about how airlines are having to green themselves a little bit, partly because, some people are not flying.
Yeah, the no-fly movement apparently is taking off in the Scandinavian countries.
Taking off, I see what you did there.
And as well as the UK and, Europe in general.
Yeah, and earlier we spoke about how they are seemingly taking off more in first world countries, in privileged countries where perhaps they are more connected than others, also where they've had more time to travel compared to the rest of us. So we've been asking you for your thoughts, whether it matters to you in how environmentally friendly your travels are, and also, are you planning to fly less? Are you planning to join the no-fly movement? Call us at 7733 2900 to let us know. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a message here from Nick.
This feels like a rich people telling poor people what to do, regardless of whether the poor can afford to do it or not. Rich sounds like a rich people thing to do.
Yep, that's a pretty accurate summation of the situation. It's made worse by the fact that the no-fly movement, I think, absolutely has the moral high ground.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, which is, they're right. You know, of course, in many ways, you don't absolutely have to travel. That's what Skype and other forms of teleconferencing are for. You don't have to fly in for meetings necessarily. There are just a lot of different things that factor in here, but it's not enough, I think. It still is very privileged to say you shouldn't have the trip of your dreams, even if you do it in the most eco-friendly way possible, because flying's just the worst.
And when we're talking about business and jobs, for example, in countries like, say, the Philippines, where a large number of their population works overseas, and you want to be able to use that amount of time even not necessarily, you don't want to sacrifice the amount of time you have to be able to spend with your family members in traveling, because that is a waste of time.
So in the article that we were referring to earlier, they called it love miles, I think, which is a bit of a gross phrase. But they used the term love miles to describe the travel that you accumulate because you're traveling to see your family. Mm. And you're right. Like, why would I want to spend a month on a train and then buses, etc., only to spend 2 weeks with my family and then have to make it back because, you know what, I'm gainfully employed and time is of the essence.
And this is also a difficult thing to do if, let's say, you are living in countries like Australia and New Zealand, where to travel outside, there literally is no way except flying.
So Sivesh says, try telling that to someone who practically flies across the region for a living. If you could work remotely and you choose not to fly, good for you. Sometimes being an employee, I don't think one seems to have a choice.
And I have a feeling that if you fly so often, you kind of get tired of it and you wish you could fly less.
Yeah, I definitely met people who have expressed that sentiment. Yeah. So let us know whether you are thinking about flying less in order to deal with the environmental impact that flying has. And also, does it matter to you when you travel? Are you conscious of the environmental footprint that you are making by this action? Call us at 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bodacious, fabulous minds. BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is the evening edition with Lynn and Kelvin, Kelvin Yee, rather, since we're doing full names all the time. So we have been talking today about travel, more specifically the fact that there is a growing no-fly movement in affluent countries, I think it's safe to say, such as Sweden and the UK. Increasingly, people are saying, no, we're not going to fly anymore because of the carbon footprint. So we are asking you, do you consider the impact on the environment when you travel, and are you planning to fly less, or is this just, in the words of our listener Nick, rich people telling poor people what to do? You can call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. First up, Ahmad.
Does the general Malaysian, are they aware of what climate change is or even the carbon footprint? And do Malaysians believe in it? Most of the time, they relate climate change impacts to natural phenomenon of more holy powers. Our awareness level in Malaysia is incredibly low and we're a long way off from a low carbon lifestyle.
That's fair, although I do think that there is a concerted attempt to get the messaging across. Mm. Because at this point, perhaps people do still believe, oh, it's just natural phenomenon, or yeah, the rainy season has always been when it, you know, this season. And perhaps people do speak like that. But there's so many avenues now for information. There's so many news portals cover climate change in a very concerted way, because there seems to be, at least from where I'm standing, I could be wrong, a growing sense that this is something that concerns us all.
And there's also that growing message coming from, I believe, the government as well. They are trying to say that, look, climate change is a real problem. So one of the ways they have been trying to tackle it is, of course, looking at the plastic waste issue and how they are planning to settle that.
Perhaps even, I mean, there was some talk of a Climate Change Act coming into play, possibly within 2 years, if needed. That has been what's come from the government. So at the very least, there is, like you said, Kelvin, an acknowledgement, I think, that this is something that needs to be looked at. Ashman, on the other hand, says, poultry farming is the biggest carbon emissions contributor in the world, more than all of the transport industries combined. Whatever you do, do in moderation. Fly when you need, eat meat moderately, create your own sustainable lifestyle.
And that's true. You know, you just need to be able to cut down where you can. So I do appreciate that growing sense of responsible traveling. And if that's coming from the end of consumers who can actually do that, then that's good for them. You know, you do what works for you. But if they do, you know, pass on that judgment on people who aren't necessarily able to do that, then that would be a concern.
Maybe one of the benefits then from the slightly condescending tone of the no-fly movement, I don't think they intend to do it, but it comes off condescending for sure. Maybe an unintended consequence then is that it just makes people think. You know, you might be holding a very distant position, a very extreme position, but maybe people looking at your extreme position might not want to join you, but might at least think, oh, okay, why are you doing it? And take what they need from that.
And if not from the general public, from the aviation industry themselves, right, where they might take note of the activism that's currently happening and they respond in a way where maybe they tweak their planes to be greener.
Yeah. Let us know what your thoughts are, especially when it comes to the environmental impact of travel. Is that something you consider? Are you planning to join the no-fly movement? Call us with your thoughts, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at PFM Radio. In the meantime, we are also going to be playing Name That Tune.
The rules are very, very simple. Just have a listen to the snippet. And if you know the name of the song and artist, call us right now at 7733 2900 to stand a chance to win the world famous Bulging BFM goodie bag.
Let's hear that snippet just one more time. 7733 2900 is the number, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.